This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
8:18 now, Ronald Serpas joins us as he does usually on Wednesday mornings, professor, practice department of criminal justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief, former superintendent of the Nashville City Police, Washington State Police, and a well-respected law enforcement expert whom you see on TV from time to time, CNN and other national outlets. How are you, Chief?
Tommy, I'm great. I missed being able to second line with you and apologize publicly on Friday night. I hope we're okay.
No, but for the record, Chief Serpas was at the roast of Newell Norman. He did an outstanding job, as did everybody. And he even got a shot at me in there, talking about putting me on his shoulders for the parade, which I like. Chief, I appreciated that.
Well, I wanted to give due respect to our heritage.
Thank you, sir. let me say this. You were invited on to talk about Helena Moreno's plan for crime, and we can talk about that next week. I'm going to call an audible here because I heard during the roast, I heard the passion with which you repeated what you had told me last week about Sergeant Candies with the St. Tammany Parish Sheriff's Office, and I want to talk about him. His funeral was yesterday. I do want to mention that you can still support his family if you go to GoFundMe, support family of Sergeant Candies killed in the line of duty. They've raised $77,915 so far. It is, and he left behind a wife and beautiful wife, two beautiful children. Not that they're beautiful, not appearance. I'm not talking about that. I just mean in general, is a nice family, and these people are going to have a struggle for the rest of their lives. But I want you to talk about the distinction that you made about losing his life or giving his life up, and also just the dangers of being a police officer and the things that we as citizens take for granted and don't realize. Because you started on a job how long ago?
1980.
45 years. So just, Chief, I'm going to give you the floor to talk about this, because I think it's important, and you really got my attention at the roast on a serious note on Friday night.
Well, thank you, Tommy. We often have memorials for when officers have died in service. Two died in service in my time as the chief, one in Nashville and one in New Orleans, and then several during my time as deputy chief and around my career. And the honorariums will routinely say that, you know, Officer Jones gave their life to service, and their life to service was given on behalf of our citizenship. The question and the distinction that I've always tried to make with that is that police officers, firefighters, other public servants, they put a uniform on every day and give their life to service. They give their life by going to work every day, answering the bell, answering the call, providing the care. But that's, to me, is dramatically different in a case where someone takes their life. These young people took Sergeant Candy's life. He didn't just give it up. They took it from him. He gave in service by going to work that day and putting his uniform on and kissing his beautiful babies on the head and say, I'll see you tonight. That's how he gave service. His life was taken from him. Rodney's life was taken from him. So many people, their lives are taken. And I don't think that the distinction is meant just to be a distinction. We should recognize that every time an officer dies in service like this, somebody broke a law, somebody made a choice, somebody took their life from them and the breath from their body. And that's the distinction I'd like to try to make. Policing can be incredibly dangerous because there's no such thing as a routine traffic stop. There's no such thing as a routine calls for service. Policing in that circumstance is a reaction. And Tommy, you think about it when we're kids playing ball. It's always slower to react than it is to act. So police officers are oftentimes behind the time when someone pulls a gun on them first. Or you go up to Tony Small, who was my first partner, who's now deceased. He and I knocked on a door in Cremay to help somebody who called for help. And when we opened the door, the guy has a shotgun in our face. We had to react. We didn't have to use weapons, thank God. But we were already behind the ball. So what happens is, in the dangers of policing, oftentimes it's because we physically can't react as fast as a human than other people can act. Traffic accidents kill a lot of police officers. State troopers in particular are very aware of this because they stop cars on major interstates and highways. Getting involved with handcuffing people, meaning in the moment where you're trying to make an arrest, kills a lot of police officers. Domestic violence events where the emotions are high and people are very excitable have the potential to kill police officers. In each of those three scenarios, we try to train better, we try to equip better, we try to educate better the public and the officers. But, Tommy, sometimes when someone wakes up and says, today is the day I'm going to kill my spouse and anybody who gets in the way is going to get killed too, that's how police officers get killed. Today is the day I'm going to decide to drive drunk, and I'm not going to care how drunk I drive. I'm going to run over a police officer. I'm going to run over a family, and I don't care. In the case of this pursuit where Sergeant Candies was using what is thought to be a very good, safe technology, didn't affect the decision of the person driving the car. They have a right to defend themselves, but, hey, they killed a man. Mm-hmm. They killed a man with children and family. So these are the kind of things that makes policing dangerous, is that in the blink of an eye, it can go from a normal routine event to a life-altering moment in the blink of an eye.
Chief, let me take a break. I want to pick it up here. We come back, and I want to talk about the mindset of the police officer that I think civilians need to realize, because I think, first of all, we need to recognize that police officers are human beings, as we all are, and secondly, that a lot of times, and this goes to your point about being reactive, they're not often seeing people at their best. If anything, they're often seeing people at the very worst, and they're dealing with that call after call after call after call. We're talking to Ronald Surpass. We were going to talk about Helena Moreno's crime plan. We'll do that next week, but Sergeant Candies was laid to rest yesterday, and I just wanted to talk about what Chief Surpass had to say about having his life taken from him, and in general, what the men and women in uniform do for us that maybe we don't realize what they're up against. And if you want to donate to Sergeant Candy's family, you can go to GoFundMe.com and just Google his name, Sergeant Candy's, up to $77,915. I got two small kids and a beautiful wife, and I hope that that amount goes over $100,000. 824 Traffic, WWL. 8:28 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Ronald Surpass, Professor of Practice, Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD Chief, Washington State Police Chief, head of Nashville City Police. We're talking about Sergeant Candies that was had his life taken from him. Is that accurate, Chief? I say that right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I believe.
And it's just a tragedy in every way, shape, and form. Tell me about, Chief, and I'm going to tell news here, it might be a minute late because I wanted to give you a little bit of time. About the mindset of police officer and what maybe we don't realize as we deal with and they deal with us, police officers, men and women in uniform?
I think one of the most important things is that police officers cannot unsee what they've seen. And when you've seen what people can do to each other in the most horrific moments in their life, it's painful, and you keep that with you forever. And I'm always proud of police officers who recognize the tragedies they've seen do not influence the way they behave every day, all day, but they don't forget what they've seen. And officers are not going to forget when Rodney Thomas, NOPD officer, was run over on the interstate trying to help somebody on the twin span. They're not going to forget Officer Christy Deadman in Nashville when she was standing on the side of I-40 helping someone when a truck ran over and never even touched a brake. Mm. They don't forget those things. And when people talk about, you know, police are this close group, they are a close group because they've serve together, but they also witness pain together. They witness pain of citizens harming each other, babies being abused, death, murder, rape. But they also witness when someone who puts the same uniform on them, who kisses the same family when they leave at night, and they see somebody take those people's life, and it stays with them forever. And by and large, we just have to remember that policing is the last line of defense often between you and an unruly moment. And that unruly moment has to be stepped into. Somebody's got to step into that breach. Often they wear uniforms, and they say, we're not going to let you hurt this other human. And sometimes it goes incredibly well. Everybody calms down. Everybody goes on their way. But when people decide that that's going to be their day to fight, they normally don't care that the police are standing next to them. In fact, we have thousands of stories across the country where police officers are talking to two combatants, and the next thing you know, a gun's pulled out of nowhere and a shooting starts. So I think it's important that our communities who really do respect the police, there's a handful of people chirping on the edges of either side of the political spectrum who can't say enough good things about the police. They never do anything wrong. And there's a lot of people on the left say there's nothing the police can do wrong. Right. It's in the middle. People in the middle respect the police respect them. And think about, you know, Sheriff Randy Smith today. I was the chief when we lost somebody. Sheriff's got a big job to keep everybody focused on doing the work that matters to save lives, to save cops' lives, and to enjoy the trust of the community and to not react. Real quick story, we had an officer shot on the interstate when I was in Nashville, and he was on the police radio essentially saying goodbye to his wife and family on the police radio because he thought he was going to die. In fact, but for great medical treatment at Vanderbilt Medical Center, he would have died. But the department was so well trained that when they found the car that had shot him, two escaped convicts from Mississippi, those Nashville police officers, I get goosebumps thinking about it right now, they slowly and methodically followed that car all over the city of Nashville and waited until they got to an abandoned area of the city where nobody would be hurt. And they swooped in on that car and arrested those two guys. Not a bullet was fired. Not a punch was thrown. Not a curse word was said. After they had just heard 3 minutes earlier, Sergeant saying, "I'm dying. Please tell my wife I love her. I'm dying. Please tell my children I'll never see them again."
Thank you, Chief.
If that's not the epitome of professionalism, there is no epitome of professionalism.
Amen. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. We'll take a break. Come back. WWL.